Nader. After about a month, I went to see my old friend from the lumber pit, Stu Gimble. I had no job, no money, and no prospect for either. For some reason, Stu wasn't discouraged at all. He thought it was the best thing that could have happened to me. "This is great. We'll get you back on your feet again. All the great traders have gone bust at least once in their careers. You're gonna be fine." He leased and paid the rent on a seat in the Eurodollar pit for me while he tried to teach me to do what he did. A sudden realization was beginning to set in. I wasn't a trader. I couldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. I literally couldn't do what he did, even though I had the best teacher and conceptually understood what he was doing. I wasn't quick enough. He had this fantastic thing for numbers that was unbelievable. But my brain didn't work like his. So there I was in the Eurodollar pit with no customer business, trying to be a trader, and I couldn't make a living. In September 1984, my accountant figured out that I could refile my previous 3 years' tax returns, average all 3 years' income, and get a tax refund. Combining the losses of 1983 with the money I had made in 82 and 81, I got a check from Uncle Sam for about $100,000. That wasn't much money relative to my dire financial situation, but it was a grubstake. The Eurodollar market was so slow and efficient that there just wasn't much price movement. I was used to the lumber market, which really moved a lot, and I thought that whatever I had learned in the lumber pit would apply better to S&Ps than Eurodollars. I bought an IOM, Index and Option Market, seat for $55,000. I was going to try to trade the S&P 500 Futures Index. I tried that for 5 months, and I didn't make any money doing that either. I wasn't any good at it. Once again, this validated that I didn't know how to trade. I tried to rationalize that away. That is, I hadn't traded in the pit for so long, and I was used to trading from a computer screen in an upstairs office. I sold the seat for $60,000, and that was the last $60,000 I had in the whole world. I hooked back up with Kirby Smith, who was at a small brokerage firm, and we sat in an office every day acting like we were going to trade and make the money back. I played that game until October 1985 and slowly ate up the money. I was still paying for the car, the house, and all the expenses of having a family. You can go through money pretty quickly with those kinds of bills and no money coming in at all. If I didn't get it together soon, I'd have to get a real job. I'd have to go back to work to survive and keep my family alive. I didn't want to do it, since I had come to believe I was above all that. You gotta do what you gotta do. However, I didn't intend to give up on trading. I viewed it like blackjack in the caddy pen. I wasn't going to quit playing, but I was going to quit losing. It was time to be a smart man, humbled, but resolved to learn from my mistakes.